Welcome to season two of the Empowerment Zone. I am your host, Ramona Houston. And in July of 2021, this year, we celebrated 1 year and 100 episodes. Wow. So make sure you check them out and share them with your network. Also, please rate us on Apple Podcasts. That will help us immensely in growing our audience. And you can go to my website, RamonaHouston.com, to fill out our survey, because this podcast is all about you. And we want to make sure that we cover topics and cover guests that inspire you.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
Having healthy, whole, affirming relationships are key to empowerment. Yet some of us have experienced serious challenges with our relationships. Yeah. According to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, on average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. Yeah. 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men have experienced some form of physical violence by an intimate partner. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men have been victims of severe physical violence, which includes beating, burning, strangling by an intimate partner in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of all violent crime. Mm-hmm. In fact, on a typical day, there are more than 20,000 phone calls placed to domestic violence hotlines nationwide. And that is why I'm so happy to have Dr. Valencia Sylvain Stinson with us today. She is a professor, and she's going to talk to us all about healing and domestic violence. Dr. Sylvain Stinson is also one of my sisters, being one of my father's daughters, who he loved quite dearly. Dr. Valencia Sylvain Stinson is an Atlanta native whose dream is to change the world through education and communication. She is a former director of internships at CNN Washington Bureau and a training officer for bioterrorism and emergency preparedness. Currently, she is an account executive for an educational consulting group. And lastly, she is the proud mother of Summer and Christian Stinson. Hi, Dr. Valencia. How are you today?
Hey, Dr. Houston. How are you?
Fine. I'm so happy to have you here today. And I really, really like the topic that you chose to discuss with our audience. But before we get on that topic, can you tell us a little bit about your personal and professional background so that our audience can learn more about you? And can you also tell us how you got into domestic violence? How did that become a aspect of your life that you wanted to solve? Thank you.
So first of all, thank you for having me. And I'm so glad to be in the zone, right? empowerment is a necessity. And to create a safe space for it, congratulations, sis. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I am a creative by nature. I have been invited to schools and jobs and all different kinds of environments to be creative. And that has kind of shown itself as an English teacher. I've been an English teacher. I've been a third grade teacher. Actually, I've taught every single grade in school all the way up to a doctoral program. Wow. So that's an interesting fact about me. Everything from kindergarten all the way, pre-K actually all the way, at some point in my career. But been able to work in corporate settings, everything from one of the first Black managers at CNN and Washington Bureau to Fulton County to school systems. So career span, everything from corporate to school. And basically, each time I wind up someplace, we tell the joke at home that I could teach a puppy to meow, because teaching is just what I do. But it is done through art, through poetry, through singing, and through communication. So that's me. I did not get an invitation to domestic violence. I began my journey when my husband's fist hit my face. And so it was not an accepted invitation. It was a situation. And because it happened over a period of, I was married about 7 years, and let's see, we were separated about 2 during the divorce. So during that time, that interaction was what solidified my relationship with domestic violence. Even though we did divorce him, we did not divorce that mission, because I knew that other people were experiencing the same part of their journey. So I was just willing to share, because I never felt any shame about sharing. I felt the shame of staying or being confused, or but once I got it, I just knew that it was an open part. So that's how the journey began. Because I'm a poet, I began to write poetry about it, and that's how I started sharing with people, is through poetry, and then having conversations wrapped around that poetry, which would allow other people to be able to tell their story too, right? So poetry therapy, because it's innate, is how we started the journey, sharing it with other people.
Mm-hmm. Interesting story and background, being an educator, and to find yourself as a victim of domestic violence and using that experience to empower and teach others is a very interesting story. Mm-hmm. So tell us, your topic today is healing and domestic violence. Yes. Can you talk about that process of healing, and how do you move from being a victim to the victor when you are experiencing domestic violence?
Yeah, so I never call myself a victim of domestic violence. I never allowed my children to say my mom was a victim, or that they were victims of a domestic violence parent household. What I told them, that we were so much more victorious than anything, and we are walking towards that. And so I demanded healing for all of us. I have mm-hmm. to say that, and it doesn't skip over the children. So I'll say that for me, the process was acknowledgement. I remember the first time I told my someone in my family about what was going on, because there were many times I went to family gatherings and I had my things packed in the truck and I would be ready. I'm not going back. And I would, because at first I didn't have bruises on my face. I would have bruises on my body. So nobody knew. So when I would get wherever I was going, I'm just like, I'm staying. I'm not leaving this time. I'm not going back home this time. And of course, you know, he might come to the gathering, or I would get afraid and just go home. And I had to, when I told someone about it, the response was, how could you do that? You're so smart. Like, that could never happen to me. And then that made me recoil. So part of what I had to say to myself is, even though someone is saying that to you, they're never about this is not a never about something else. And you have to be able to first begin to assess your own placement, which is very, very challenging, being that you have already been hit, and not just hit physically, but your mind is being hit. So the first step is to literally begin to say to yourself, I'm enough, it's okay. You literally have to just, but I used to have a student that when the kids would tease him, he would say, I'm turning you down, right? And so there's a I'm turning you down button that has to happen. And it's very challenging to get a hold of that button, because it's way down deep under bruised tissue, right? And so you have to, in and of yourself, just look at it and say, I want to live. It's a statement totally contrary to what's going on. But that statement of, I want to live, I want to live. And then from there, you seek help from a professional, seek help. And when I say a professional, I'm not necessarily talking about your minister, Dr. Houston, because the church has a aversion sometimes to domestic violence and may not actually be absolutely equipped to counsel those in domestic violence. So what I have done is over the years, just been using a model that I'm working on to help others in the same situation, because the church is the first time I went to church and said, this is what's going on. My minister who loved me, he's like, I just really cannot look at your face at all. It was just so tattered. And I understood what he meant, right? And so though the church helped me, my home church helped me financially get on my feet. Everybody donated. The counseling of it and the healing of it was very hard. So you need a professional that deals with domestic violence. And also because in my particular story, my husband was in a leadership position in the church. So was I. And the church that we were part of at that time literally asked me to leave the premises so as not to destroy the fabric of their church or to destroy his reputation, which was very confusing to me because that was not a reputation that I considered Christ-like, nor was I trying to destroy a reputation. I was just trying to get footing for myself and my children at that point. So because it may be convoluted in the church sometimes, you need a professional that is separate and apart from a religious entity, although you may find somebody that can help in that arena as well. I don't want to discourage someone because I know a wonderful ministry in the light of, his name is Pastor Paul, who deals just with domestic violence victims. You understand? Because at that point, we do feel like a victim, but it's that journey that gets you to victorhood, right? So decide, I do want to live, touch with some professional, and you have to do the things discreetly because you have to be ready to go. You have to be ready to go. And that's a very important part. You have to be ready to go. There have been, so I've given you two steps, but there have been many occasions, even with myself, like I said, I would go to the event and be ready to go. I've even had a sister friend living with me, and the young man came to our door. Now, listen, I'm going to let you know, if he comes to my door, I'm calling the police and I'm going to participate in having him arrested. I'm going to actively participate in it. I need to let you know that before you come through my door, because the person that you trust has to be a person that can stand for you in that, right? Has to be a person that can stand right there. So you have to find that network, because if you're not ready to leave and you keep going back, which is what happens in our situation, it kind of wears you down a little bit. So you need to make the decision, even if it's a split second decision, that I want to leave, and then you get to somebody that can help you. That's what has to happen. And once you make that part of the journey and getting into a situation, you literally have to, you have to shut it off, Ramona. The person cannot keep communicating with the person that's abusing them. And I say person that's abusing them because I don't want to negate that the abuse is coming from a human, right? And that human has some issues that make them do that. And as someone that's abused, we have an issue that we have to grow through as well. I wanted to keep my family together without noting that I wasn't promoting a family kind of situation. And what shook me out of that is I was folding a scarf one night, and it was how I tied up the girl. You know how we as brown skin girls, we tying up that hair.
Yes. Right?
So I was tying up, making the scarf to tie up Summer's hair. And by that time, it was when I actually left. My eye was totally blacked. I mean, it wouldn't open. My throat, literally, my vocal cords were so bruised. It was hard for me to help talk from the choking. My ribs were broken. But I was tying this scarf. I was at my mom's house by then. I'd just come back from the hospital, tying this scarf, just still trying to be mommy. And I said, Summer, let me tie your hair up, baby. And she was about 2 and a half. She looked at me. She said, no, mommy. She said, I can do it. She said, and I can't look at you right now. I said, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. She said, just let me do my own scarf. She said, mommy, because I said, well, I've never taught you how to do that, baby. How do you know how to do that? She said, mommy, I watch what you do and I do what you do. And that day was the last day I had any challenge about whether or not I was going back. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I watch what you do and mm-hmm. I do what you do. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what you, and her, and so it didn't matter what I was saying. She was going to do what I did. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could not allow her to do what I was doing or mm-hmm. accept what I was taking. So decide to live, even for a moment. Find somebody that is going to help you professionally, and then commit to cutting it off. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have to talk to him anymore, except for I put the TPO in place. I was able then to walk the steps. Okay, now how when you're walking the steps, so where does healing come? That person that you have aligned with. And then your faith is going to come in, all those things. But what we do as when poetry therapy is, I'm going to connect with you in a session. I'm going to do some poetry with you. The man I love is brown and strong. He holds me close and he loves me long. When he sleeps, I see peace overtake him. I am glad that he has found rest, because mm-hmm. that's how we feel when we're talking about that young man. But then we're going to get to the part when we're talking about how he talks about your skirts and they're too tight, how he begins to talk about cutting your hair and then you cut it and you're a joke in his sight, right? Mm-hmm. So those things then become very real, because you can hear it poetically and you can exhale and say, oh yeah, I experienced that. So poetry therapy is that interaction with some type of poetry, some type of readings that allow you to unobtrusively hear what's happening or some rendition of what's happening, and then allow you a pause to be able to relate to your feelings and be able to come or plug into the strategy of realigning, because part of the problem is money. Immediately, it's money. It could be a skill set. It could be, so when you're able to exhale, then you're able to go back and say, okay, these are the 4 things that I need. I need somebody to take care of my baby 1 day a week. I need some money coming in. I need a safe place to live, and I need something that'll pour into me, empower me over and over.
Dr. Valencia, this is an incredible story, and thank you for being so candid and personal with our audience. It's very interesting in that it's biblical. Children will teach you, right? Yep. And that your liberation came through your child.
Right.
But many African Americans at Latino Americans, Latina Americans are very much engaged in their faith through their church. And yes. One of the things that you stated is that you have to go beyond the church to be liberated from the challenges of domestic violence.
Yes.
Why do you believe the church is not as well equipped to deal with these type of issues, and are they want to, like you just stated, your personal experience, they wanted to keep you silent, right? To help the man with his reputation, you know, instead of, you know, helping you who needed the help, right? And so I'm very curious about your assessment. I'm sure you've thought about it for a while, or at least I assume you have. Why is the church not equipped?
As they should be. I have to honestly say to you, as I said to that pastor that day, if I could see you out of my left eye, which is completely closed right now, I would really be able to answer you differently. But for right now, I'm going to say that you guys should just be ashamed. And I said that, you know, that was a candid statement. And let me first put the disclaimer that it's not a bashing. It's not a church bashing, Dr. Houston. It is just a raising of the flag that is someplace where we need to grow. And the thing about it is, for all of us that are entrenched in the church, it sometimes appears to be combative, because on the other side, it may not want to be acknowledged as a place to grow. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so because I'm saying, hey, we need to grow, it's like, no, you're being rebellious. I'm not being rebellious. I'm being true. And the truth of it is, the church may not be equipped, number one, because it is a place where it's challenging to admit that there is no structure or no attention paid to building out that part of the church. And no one wants to say that inside these walls, our men and our men or our women, because women can be abusive too, are physically and verbally tearing each other down, because that's in direct opposition to a child, to a Christ-like spirit, quote unquote. But it is happening, and it is happening all the way from the pulpit all the way down. But there would have to be such an intense, you have to be able to admit it.
Yeah, that's a good assessment, that the church does not want to oppose the image that it wants to project about who the church is. You know, I have my own critiques as well, listening to your story, just without, you know, just thinking about it as you talk, not having engaged in deep thought about it. But it the church is also a very male dominated society, and or a culture, excuse me, that where women are belittled in many ways, and not their truths aren't welcomed. And many times the church and people within the church fail to speak truth to power, even though they say that's what they do. So I thank you so much for sharing your story and giving our audience some calls to action. So if you are experiencing domestic violence as a male or a female, Dr. Valencia has given us many steps. First, you must decide. You have to make the decision that you want to be out of the relationship. You need to touch bases with a professional. And Dr. Valencia encourages you to engage with professionals who are outside of the church. You have to be ready to go once you make that decision. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you build a relationship with a person that you trust, and that person needs to be able to stand for you in mm-hmm. case the person who is abusing you comes around, that they're able to stand. You've got to be ready to shut the person off and committing to cutting him or her out of your life, cutting them off totally. Sometimes we think we can continue to have a relationship with these people, and no, for your own healing, you need to cut them off totally. And lastly, one of her calls to action was that you need to be engaged in going in growing through the issue. Yes. And in growing through the issue, there are many types of therapy to help you heal. But Dr. Valencia talked about poetry being her form of therapy. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we really appreciate you sharing your experience, your knowledge, and your expertise with us. And if anybody wanted to contact you, how would they get in touch with you, Dr. Valencia?
Okay, you can do at Dreamkeeper, DreamKeyper. That's my IG. And if you need it, you just call 678-591-8098, because we want to talk about the health of you and the impact on how to help the children, because we cannot forget they are important in the process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your contact information and just sharing your story with us. October is Domestic Violence Month. So will you come back and join us again?
Yes.
Okay, great, great, great. We want to make sure sometimes it takes, like you just stated, more than one time to really help people through this process. And I'm so happy that you're here to help heal people, help them get through these experiences, and most of all, to empower our audience. Now we are moving toward our college strategies portion of our interview. So Dr. Valencia, we know you have a doctorate degree, and so you've been to college. So could you give us our audience one strategy for college success?
Yes, I'm uniquely prepared. I have two college students right now. Dr. Ramona, did you know?
No, yeah. I cannot believe they're already in college. I just remember seeing them real little. One of my favorite visions of them, they may have been about four or five, and they had on fur coats. And I was like, what? Or what appeared to be fur coats. And I thought that was just the cutest thing. But before you give us that strategy, can you tell us what college or colleges did you attend, your majors, and what degrees you received, and then give us those two strategies.
Okay. All right. So undergraduate, Alcorn State. I'm Alcorn Brave. Don't worry about them this last game. It's okay. We're coming back. All right. And so at Alcorn, I did English with broadcast journalism as my concentration as well. In Clark Atlanta, I did a degree for community counseling and one for school counseling. And that was at the master's level, and at the PhD level, organizational leadership. And I also concentrated on psychology. So yeah, that's it.
So
that's
great, it. Great, great. So what are those two pieces of strategy you would give our audience?
Okay, so the one I would give, I want to give one for the parents and one for the
Great.
The students.
Great.
For the parents, let me get the kids first. For the kids, communicate, like really tell your parents the stuff. Don't even think about what kind of whatever it is that's happening at school. Tell them, because some things it may seem like this big, but if you tell them, they can help you keep it from getting this big. So just tell them. And it's okay, you know, because we follow your social media anyway. We probably already know. Okay, you might not know we're following it. Tell us. Okay. And for the parents, I would say, listen with a fine-tooth comb. Mm-hmm. Don't jump on everything that you hear, but listen, because they need somebody that's listening without judgment. Mm-hmm. They're experiencing things that are totally different from at home, and people that are totally different from at home. So if they're saying to you, hey, yeah, mommy, my roommates and I, we don't really get it like that. Okay. And that's something they just said in passing. Later on, you want to ask about that. What is everybody cleaning up the bathroom? What is it? You know, just like that. Just, and so for the kid, tell us, and for the parent, listen. And then that combination will get you through those times.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Love great advice. That's something that's new to the Empowerment Zone, that young people, you need to talk about your experiences to your parents and or an adult who can help you through it. And then those parents and adults, you need to listen. Yep. And make sure that you listen without judgment and just help them through these students through their experience. Thank you so much, Dr. Valencia. We really appreciate you joining us on the Empowerment Zone.
All right. Love it.
Thank you.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Angali, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.